We are now conducting our final systems check.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 29 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings from attractionsmagazine.com over the past week and in our lives in general. So for those that are listening to this, once again, this week we did a live stream of us recording this podcast, this time with video. So you can actually go back to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine to see the replay of this and see how much hair I don't have anymore. I really, looking at the video here, I'm like, I feel like I'm like Lex Luthor. Like
I was thinking, just,
like, start eating.
I'm getting some like Walter White vibes.
Oh my God.
Are you cold? Is it cold up there now?
You know what? So for real quick, for those listening who can't see right now, I completely shaved all my hair off my head. I still have a beard, but I shaved all of the head, so I'm bald for a little bit. It's all stubble right now, which feels like peach fuzz. It's really weird. I've never done this before in my life, but Spencer randomly, my daughter, wanted to cut my hair, and she last year cut her own hair one time, and we had to go. Like, and she had long hair, she cut it short, just because, like, she sees like videos on YouTube of like people start styling their Barbies or something like that. So randomly the other day, she asked me if she could cut my hair, and I was like, you know what, with this homemade Disney trend that's been going on, like, maybe we could do like a Main Street Barbershop video, and I'll get some fun shots of her cutting my hair. And I, after we were done shooting it, I was just like, you know what, I'm stuck in the house for at least through the end of April. Let's just go all out.
The video was really cute. I loved it. I thought it was so funny, and your comedic timing with it, especially with her like all done, like that was so cute.
I'm really proud of it. Cute. I'm really proud of it. That I probably won't make any more homemade Disney videos now. Like I can't get any better than that.
yeah, no.
But Brittany, you were asking, yeah, it does feel so weird to actually feel like breezes and air hitting my head. Like, and even like when I was taking my shirt off last night before bed, and my shirt was like getting caught on my head because it wasn't, it was so weird. Like, it's good to get you getting used to, but it's been nice and cool in Orlando, and it was raining today. So I stepped outside, and for the first time in my life, felt rain on my scalp, and it was nice, honestly.
Maybe I'll shave my head too. Just kidding. No.
Are you gonna go Britney Spears?
I've actually, one time I thought about it when I was tired of bleaching my hair. I thought about just shaving it off and doing like a Natalie Portman buzz cut for a little bit. It's too extreme.
so that's actually pretty much been my week is cutting my hair off and just staying home. What about you, Brittany? What's going on out there in Texas?
Well, I'm still in my stay-at-home order until April 13th. It is April the 5th now, so I'm just chilling. Mm-hmm. I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing. Today was turnip buying day. I bought 1,200 turnips to try to sell on the stock market this week. We'll see if I make any of my money back. Wow. I watched Onward.
Oh, how'd you like
fine.
It?
Fine.
Oh, really?
The last two Pixar movies just haven't done it for me. It felt really like, and I couldn't stand Barley as a character. It really got on my nerves.
You know, that's fair to say. I understand that. I think the whole father storyline hit me a little close to home, so I did enjoy that. But yeah, you know, it's nice to see an original Pixar film.
Yeah,
for sure. But yeah, it's probably in the middle of my Pixar film list.
Yeah, it's probably towards the bottom for me, but it was fine. It was like a good dinner movie to watch while we eat. Mm-hmm. I bought the Delgado. I'll be setting that up probably tomorrow. Because with my streaming games and stuff, I've learned how hard it is with like all the AV stuff and trying to figure everything out, because with the capture card that I have plugged in right now, there's like a half a second to a full second input delay that I have to adjust my audio and my mic for.
Okay.
And that's super challenging. But with this one that I picked up to upgrade from, it's supposed to have instant game view so that there's virtually no lag between me pushing a button and seeing it on screen. So I don't have to do the audio delays anymore.
Okay.
Which is cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm learning.
you had to skip this Saturday's stream, but you're going to stream again this week?
Yeah, probably do an extra day just to test out the new capture card. And then my usual day is Saturday just because that's normally when I have the time.
Right.
I skipped this week just because I was trying to decide between this one and then there's another capture card that goes into the tower, into the PCIe slot, but I didn't have any ones open. I didn't know that until I opened up my tower and started looking around in there. But I figured it would be just easier to take a day to figure out which capture card I needed to upgrade to and then just come next week.
This is all like foreign language to me. I have no idea what any of this stuff works. I'm just like I hit button to start game.
I'm learning too as I'm doing all of this. I've been watching so many videos of like how to get alerts to come up when people follow or subscribe or send you like bits and stuff, like little pop-ups that you have to like code in to come up on screen when people do things and like overlays and stuff, kind of like this, and different scenes and stuff like that. And then how to get the coloring just right, because on the Switch you have to adjust the color settings because the Elgato pulls it and it's kind of washed out and stuff. So you have to adjust color settings on the console. It's like a whole thing, but it's really made me appreciate the work that people do trying to stream things in general, because it's super complicated.
Right, right. Do you, I'm just noticing our YouTube comments here during the live stream. Someone mentioned they wanted to see you play BioShock. Do you have that?
I have it for the PlayStation 4, but they announced in the Nintendo Mini Direct that I forgot to put on the docket last week, so we could talk about it. They're porting it to the Switch. I don't have enough room to put my PlayStation 4 in here, so I'm going to pick it up for Switch and play it on there, or pick it up on Steam if it's cheap. So I will totally play BioShock for sure.
Love your profile. I love that pick. Game. The profile pick right down here.
Oh, Ben Solo, baby. We
love it. All right. So at this point, it is time. And I forgot I needed to pull up a sound effect, so I'm going to have to.
Oh, we get old sound school. Effects now.
I don't have them ready yet. Things.
That's okay.
There's been some family emergencies this weekend. Everyone's fine, but I haven't been able to get things ready, but we'll have it ready for next week. But right now, we're going to go to news in the queue. Choo-choo-choo.
All right, we have a lot, because a lot happened this week, surprisingly.
Yes.
kicking things off with Legoland New York. It's not opening this year anymore. Yeah, and I know that you were super excited about this.
I really was.
I felt particularly sad. So it is the opening. It was supposed to be this summer on July 4th, I believe, and now it's been pushed back to 2021 to kind of reevaluate the entire situation going on in the world right now and kind of put it off long enough that we will hopefully be out of the woods with this whole virus thing and have enough time passed to where it is safe to go back to the parks again.
Right. I'm also like, I'm trying to like be fancy here and show photos. that's Legoland, New York, by the way. It's just going to be like, I know a lot of people hate saying this, but it's the new normal. It's just something we're getting used to. We're going to see a lot of delays and things like that.
I don't even think we're done with hearing delays from Disney just yet. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Andrew, who runs Super Yaki. Mm-hmm. He and his girlfriend want to go back to Disney really bad. They're theme park people too. But they may not go for a whole year after the parks reopen, just to be
geez.
Safe. Because we were talking about that, and I was like, honestly, totally valid.
Yeah. It is what it is. I was hoping that, you know, with that park opening on July 4th, that that'd be enough time for everything to somewhat pass. But if like even them, it's, but it also could be a thing of they're in New York, and I think they've been told they have to stop construction. So without being able to finish construction, they can't open on July 4th, even if the park's already finished. So yeah, it's sad, and but it's going to open. It will still open. It's not like they're going to demolish it and say, "Oh, we tried," and take it all down.
And but a cool thing that I didn't expect, but they said that all the employees who received an offer of employment to work this year will be extended an offer for next year when park actually opens.
Yeah, that's really great. It's great on Merlin for them to do that. I saw that they also said that people who bought annual passes or park tickets ahead of time will be able to use those next year as well. No questions asked. So that's great. Yeah, it's just a delay. It'll open up sometime next year, but we're just going to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, I know it's going to kill you because I know you wanted to go up there and cover it.
I do, and I'll still get up there for the opening, I'm sure.
It'll be a good kind of Legoland homecoming for you.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, some rumors for you.
I do have to address this because I'm seeing this in the comments. Someone's saying SeaWorld, no, they did not open today. Someone is saying they checked Google Maps and the hours are on there. If the hours are on Google Maps for SeaWorld, that's false information. Someone probably hasn't updated the Google Maps listing for it yet, but SeaWorld is closed until further notice. They've already furloughed 90% of their employees. So until they officially make an announcement, even if you see it in Google Maps, it's closed. It's not open.
We will update you as soon as we find out something new, though.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, no worries. Just wanted to make sure you knew.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of people, I myself included, I'll check Google Maps of a business and see if they're open. So I know a lot of people do that. So if you have any doubts, just call numbers.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a speculation list of houses for this year's Halloween Horror Nights, should everything go to plan. This year's event will have 10 houses, 5 scare zones, and 2 shows, I believe.
I think this is at 2 shows, yes.
2 shows. So here is what we've got. For houses, we have Netflix's The Haunting of Hill House, Beetlejuice, Gremlins, Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Universal Monsters' Bride of Frankenstein, Billie Eilish, An Anniversary House, Terra Queen, Bedtime Stories, and Dungeon of Terror.
Okay, so this is an interesting list, especially for this being an anniversary year, and a big anniversary year, 30th anniversary. Yeah. So I'm pulling up you can go to attractionsmagazine.com to see our post about this in the full list. So I'm just trying to get through here and see. All right, so yeah, Haunting of Hill House, that's expected. That show was such a big hit for Netflix.
I've been waiting on that one for such a long time because when that show came out, I ate it up. It was so good.
Yeah. And I would imagine because they're working, if I'm not mistaken, there's a second season coming, right?
Uh-huh. It's like they're doing an anthology with it. So I think the new one is The Curse of Bly Manor or something Bly Manor.
Right.
They're going to reuse some of the same cast members.
Right. So that'll probably be the Netflix house for this year, except and no Stranger Things, but.
Well, Sabrina is Netflix too.
Oh, is that? I thought that was CW. I guess it comes from that world of like Riverdale, right?
Yeah, it's in the same world as Riverdale. I think they share writers, but it's a Netflix show.
Gotcha. Okay. Beetlejuice. Oh my God. If this is true, this is my number one most anticipated house of this year. Oh my God. I love Beetlejuice so much, and it has the potential to be like Ghostbusters last year and be like funny and scary at the same time. Like that snake and Beetlejuice as a snakehead scared the crap out of me as a kid. I can't imagine if that was a puppet in the house.
There's so much puppet potential for this house.
I'm loving this trend of like bringing these 80s films to life in the park during the event. So this would continue that for sure.
And Beetlejuice has had kind of like a rebirth in the past year with the Broadway musical and everything, even though it's closing this summer. So, I mean, honestly, it's like a natural kind of rebirth of that property. And they already have a bunch of Beetlejuices that are in the parks already. So just
exactly. They have the Beetlejuice graveyard review for the longest time. So this is, Beetlejuice has been around practically since the park opened.
Rest in peace. Mm.
So speaking of classic 80s films, Gremlins, that should be a fun one. Another comedic kind of house.
And it's like it's a Christmas house too.
Yes. I loved the, oh my gosh. I'm blanking on Krampus? The name. Krampus. I loved Krampus. So I love Christmas themed houses.
I think if we're talking puppet potential, this one has the most.
Oh my gosh. All those little creatures running around. Yes, yes, yes.
It used to scare me as a kid. Fun fact, I used to hate Gremlins because I found it terrifying. Yeah.
Have you gone back and watched them?
No.
they're really actually like the first one has a lot of, you know, horror elements to it. The second one is just pure cheese. It is
so fun. I remember watching the first one when I was like six, and the microwave scene where they explode in the microwave traumatized me. And then I didn't watch it again I watched it again like a year or two ago, but it had been like my whole life up until that point that I watched it.
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, we mentioned that. I've never seen the show, but I've heard things.
I've heard fun. It's like your typical like teen, it's very Riverdale in like its teen soapiness, but it's like mixed with The Craft. Like it's got witchy elements to it. It's really fun. I like it.
Yeah.
Ray Wise was in it too as the satanic pope or whatever.
Of course he was. I love Ray Wise so much.
If you guys know me, you know I love Twin Peaks, and he plays Laura Palmer's dad in that show. So he obviously natural fit for the satanic pope.
Okay, so Bride of Frankenstein, if it's like a continuation and the same kind of design that they had from the Monsters House last year, where it's like the classic monsters updated, I'm all for that.
I wonder if this would like be gauging interest for a movie, because I know that Blumhouse was like workshopping a Bride of Frankenstein movie. I think if I read that right somewhere, I feel like Elizabeth Banks or someone was tied to it. I can't remember.
I'm not sure, honestly.
But sounds cool. I love when they use their classic IP in the park. So go for it. The next one.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish. I'm gonna full admit I don't really know her. I know who she is. Like, she's all over the place, but yeah. I don't listen to her music. I don't know her music. So my first initial thought was like, what the heck does she have to do with Halloween Horror Nights? And then I saw like some photos and clips from music videos that she's done. And it seems like, you know, it seems like this is probably gonna be one of those houses where they're not gonna call the house Billie Eilish. It's probably gonna have like a name with it, like when they would partner with you know, Penn and Teller's house that they did, and Slash, exactly. So it's probably just gonna be like a music video house with like a few songs and her music videos brought to life.
I was talking with a couple friends about this, and I feel like it won't have her in it. It'll just be like she'll help curate the house, but she won't have her likeness in there. Like
exactly.
I don't think Slash was in the Slash houses at Hollywood.
I don't think so too. There was another one here years ago, and I cannot remember for the life of me the name of the musician. But it was just basically his like crazy catalog going through his music videos. And I wish I knew the name off the top of my head. but yeah, it just feels like it's going to be a music video house, basically. Mm-hmm. Which those are fine every now and then.
There's also a hot rumor going around that one of this year's nighttime shows, a Lagoon show, will be Billie Eilish themed. So naturally would probably feature some of the same imagery that would be in the house and her music as well.
Right. I mean, I'm not the demographic for that music, but I know she is extremely popular and will probably bring in a lot of the younger audience to the events. So they're playing their cards right in terms of trying to broaden the appeal of the event to everyone.
Yeah, it's a smart move for sure.
Of course. And then it's the 30th anniversary. So what would it be without an anniversary house? And anniversary houses have always been so fun. My first year was actually 20. So I remember going through that anniversary house, and I had no connection to the scenes that were in there based on older houses, but it was still fun. And then the 25th anniversary house was great fun as well. So I'm excited to see what they do with this one.
Yeah, it's anyone's guess what this could be for this year. It could be a Jack house, could be a Legendary Truth house. I was also wondering, the stage show, do you think it'll be Academy of Villains again, or do you think they'll bring Jack back for a stage show? Right? Things to think about, my friends. Things to think about.
That Jack show in 25 was a huge hit.
It was brutal. I remember that was one of the first videos from attractions I ever watched before I worked here. Yeah.
And it still pulls crazy numbers.
They put a guy in a blender. I mean, it's
if you go back to YouTube and just look at a lot of the old shows starring Jack in Halloween Horror Nights past, they're always so brutal and so fun ways that they kill people on stage. Like I love it. I'm a horror fan, and just seeing that stuff is, I don't know. It weirdly brings a smile to my face. I don't know what that says about me.
Let's not get into the psychosis of your enjoyment of spooky things.
You're right. All right. What's next?
Tara Queen. Now this this one I have no prior knowledge of, but it's from 2005 and they're bringing it back. She's like a spider lady who rides a monster motorcycle.
Okay. And now Bedtime Stories.
Now this one is inspired, or it seems to be kind of related to Hollywood Harry's, the Terror Tram at USH.
Yeah.
But this would be kind of framed in the vignette style of Slaughter Cinema from 2 years ago.
I love Slaughter Cinema. Oh my God, that was an amazing house. So if they did like an anthology house again, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Twisted looks at Bedtime Stories. And the writer that who put this all together for us, Theron, supposed that this could also be a way that we see past houses or icons from previous years of Horror Nights.
So you got that and the anniversary house. Like, I really hope that they are leaning into the past this year. And I mean, speaking of which, the last house on the list here, Dungeon of Terror.
Yeah, this was it. This is what started everything.
This is the very first house. I think that's an excellent idea to kind of bring back and reimagine the very first house they ever did to today's audience. I think it's a smart idea.
I would love to see. I wish that they had archive video of that house or something, a way that we could see it and then compare it to this year's iteration of it. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. So there we go. This is just speculation. This is all rumors. Nothing is officially confirmed until Universal says something. And honestly, at this point, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, how long we're all going to be stuck inside and if they're even able to start building. Because right by about now, they already should be underway with building and announcements should have already started by now. But that's obviously not going to happen.
Yeah, I think I saw it might have been Clint from Thrill Geek who posted on a year to the day that they announced Stranger Things 2 and 3 for last year. And that was maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
You'd hate for a big anniversary year like this to have to. I don't even want to say it. Knock on wood. So let's be optimistic and let's look forward to hopefully some house announcements very soon.
Agreed. Here's hoping. We have a couple comments in the chat.
Oh, what we got? What we got? Let's see here. Oh, yeah. He's got a good point. You really think both a house and a lagoon show would happen with Billie Eilish?
Okay. Without saying that it is happening, because we don't know for sure, it would be smarter to come up with a multi-offering agreement on Billy's part. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to need a Lagoon show. There really is no overarching theme. Like, Jack isn't super present so far in the rumors that we've gotten. So they need something.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I mean, we don't know. It's anybody's guess beyond what the rumors say, but that is the only Lagoon show rumor I've heard so far. And I've heard it multiple times from various people. So if it isn't true, it's at least getting around.
Yeah. And Brian, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Come on, Simpsons. Like, I know it's a diss. I know Simpsons is on under Disney now, so maybe this will never happen. But I think it's still, you know, you got to turn Springfield into like a treehouse of horror scare zone and have a maze too. Like, I think that would be amazing.
I wish we knew what the theme park rights situation is between Disney and Universal now.
Because I don't even want to think about it, because like between Marvel and now Simpsons, like there's probably so many fine lines to read and contracts.
Yeah.
Like that's not my department.
I think it would be cool though to have like a treehouse of horror like street or something utilizing Springfield to its fullest potential.
They already allow them to put chainsaws in there, so why not just put some themed characters? So yeah, there we go. I'll go ahead. The Roaring Lions, shout out to you. Thanks for tuning
What's
in.
What's up?
We're not going to be answering questions right now, Roaring Lions, so we'll save questions for later on in the podcast. Brittany, what's next?
All right. Surprising news, but nice news. Bob Iger gave up his entire Disney salary for 2020, and many executives, including the newly named CEO, Bob Chapek, took various percentages of pay cuts amid the ongoing global health crisis going on in the world right now.
Yeah. That was definitely surprising and actually kind of nice to see, especially for Iger, because, you know, Iger's been, you know, was chairman CEO for 15 years, give or take. So he's, you know, I'm sure he's probably got a chunk of change that he can fall back on, and he can safely, you know, I'm not going to take any money. Let's distribute. Hopefully they're distributing it to other cast members throughout the company to help keep them employed. So we'll see. We'll see. But it's definitely a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So the pay cut percentages are as follows. So Bob Chapek has given up 50%. He's taken a 50% cut. All VPs are cut by 20%, senior VPs by 25%, and executive VPs and above their positions by 30%.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how many millions of dollars that entails. They didn't say, Hollywood Reporter reported this first. They didn't say where this money was going to, but we hope it goes to the cast members or.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I just don't know, because this kind of dovetails into our next story.
The next thing. Pretty much the day after we covered that, Disney announced that they were going to furlough a good amount of their employees in the U.S. Specifically, their non-union hourly salaried and executive cast members.
Yeah.
With the exception of those whose roles or projects are needed to maintain operations during the closure period.
Yeah. And this only is to the U.S. cast members. This doesn't apply to like Paris and Tokyo and those places. It's sad to see, you know, you expected it after SeaWorld announced that they were going to furlough their employees. Like, you had to imagine that other companies, especially the theme parks, are going to start doing that as well. So right now, cast members in the U.S. parks are getting paid until the 19th. And then on that day is when they will be furloughed for the time being. Furlough means they're just not on the payroll. They are still going to be considered cast members, but they will be welcomed back to their role at a later date. So they're not being laid off, but they can still, being furloughed, they can still apply for unemployment benefits. So that'll help out for the time being.
Right. So they get to keep their employment. They get to keep their health insurance, and Disney during the furlough period is paying both the employer and the employee contributions to their insurance, which is huge.
Yeah.
those who are enrolled in Disney Aspire, that's Disney's collegiate program where they pay your tuition so you can go to school and advance your education, that is still available to the members that are enrolled. So if you're in school, you don't have to worry about it. And those who are furloughed can apply for unemployment and are eligible for the extra $600 stimulus bonus as well on top of their unemployment benefits.
Yeah. So it hits close to home for us because Sydney, my wife, is a cast member. She works at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So, we're going to have her apply for the unemployment on the 19th. And hopefully Florida's, sorry to get political here, but hopefully Florida's unemployment website gets, you know, taken care of, because I've been hearing a lot of friends who have already been furloughed are having issues applying. It keeps like redirecting them back to the main site and they can't get through. So hopefully all those kinks will be worked out by then, and hopefully everyone is able to, you know, get their benefits, because this is definitely a interesting time in history. We're all living through history right now. This will be a chapter in the history book in the future. So it's kind of weird to be, you know, living through that, and we just all have to take it day by day and, you know, take care of each other.
Yeah. When I was a cast member, I was union, I was IATSE, but they are currently in discussions with the union leaders. So all my friends that still work at the Pirates League, we don't know what'll happen with them yet, if they'll get furloughed or if they'll be kept on per union agreements. I also heard that you should fill out for enrollment in Florida via paper because the website sucks.
Yeah, well, we have to wait until the 19th to do that, right. But we're looking into all options, and we'll see if the website's fixed by then. Faster Tunic Studios thought he saw that SeaWorld and probably other places were closed until the end of the year. We don't know. They don't have an end date. Right now, it's just different wording, like closed until further notice or indefinitely closed. That could be until the end of the year. It could be until May. We don't know until things, you know, start getting back to a more normal situation. We won't know, and parks won't announce an opening day. That's why, like, a lot of parks, SeaWorld, Disney specifically, are not giving end dates anymore. You know, they kept saying, oh, well, we'll stay closed until April 19th. But now they're changing their wording and just saying until further notice or definitely closed. Yeah. So they don't have to keep updating every 2 weeks and extending the closure. So we're going to see that a lot.
As of right now, you can book a vacation at Walt Disney World for starting on June the 1st, but I would not put money on that.
No, yeah, I wouldn't either. It's so weird to think that we could be without any Disney or any theme parks in general until June. But honestly, it's looking more and more like that.
It's crazy.
I mean, you can't.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, even if the coronavirus numbers start to decline, you can't just open up these theme parks all at once and everyone rushes in, because then that could cause a spread. So the theme parks are going to have to open up very sporadically, and they're going to wait for a little bit before they feel it's safe to gather again.
I wonder if they'll do like capping capacity to a certain degree, or I know some parks in Asia were doing like temperature checks, and you had a health QR code that if it was green, then you could go in, but you had to pass the temperature test too. So who knows?
John in the chat is saying if we know why Universal has not gone to say further notice yet. I don't know yet. That's all up to them. They're probably still trying to figure things out on their end as well. I think right now they have said until April 18th, summer, or give or take a day.
I'm checking right now.
So I'm sure by the time we get closer to that date, they'll probably just come out and say until further notice. But who knows what's going through the minds of their higher ups right now.
Yeah. They haven't furloughed any team members yet. So yet.
We'll see what happens. You know, fingers crossed. Hopefully everyone out there who's listening, who's affected by any of these closings or furloughs, are doing good and taking care.
Our hearts are with you.
Exactly. Surely.
Okay. I updated it, our article on March 24th. Yeah. It looks like they're temporarily closed through April 19th at this time. So
I would be willing to bet by then where they'll either extend it to another date or they'll just say until further notice.
Mm-hmm. Probably any day now. In other news, Disney's bought some what?
Random news here.
Disney bought land.
All right then.
Yep. No one saw this coming. So because of all of the virus stuff happening, they had to halt all of their construction. So no one's working on Tron Coaster. No one's working on Guardians. But there has been a land purchase of 26.3 acres near Magic Kingdom, located on the southeastern shore of Reedy Lake to the west of the Magic Kingdom theme park.
Yep.
And it was sold for $1.05 million.
I know a lot of people are being like, why would they spend this money right now of all times when they need to be, you know, helping to pay for the customers? I would be willing to bet, you know, business deals like this don't happen overnight. I'd be willing to bet this is something that's been in the works for months now. And it just so happened to be finalized at this time. So they just probably went ahead and signed on the dotted line and grabbed it anyway. Because, like I said, they probably started this last year for this deal to buy this land.
It takes a long time for land purchases to go through. Mm-hmm. Their last land purchase was in December of 2019. Now, keep in mind that while this could be used for theme park or guest-facing sections of Walt Disney World, it could also be used for backstage facilities that you would never see, mm-hmm. or protected environmental land sanctuary area, because they do have to keep a certain percentage of that land open and undeveloped for this state.
So. Exactly. So I wouldn't look too much into this of like, oh, new theme park. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Nothing's happening now. I'm pretty sure Epic Universe is still dirt.
I would be willing to bet.
All right. In some non-theme park related news, Disney finally released some new opening dates for the movies that got canceled or delayed because of all, everything going on. Mm-hmm. Now, I only have the Walt Disney Studio release dates here, so that is not counting 21st Century Studios or any of their subsidiaries, Searchlight, all of that. But Disney's Mulan, which was supposed to come out the last month, is now coming out on July 24th. Disney's Jungle Cruise has been moved a whole year to July 30th, 2021.
Dang.
Yeah, Marvel Studios' Black Widow, which was supposed to come out in May, is now coming out on November 6th, 2020, which was the previous date for Marvel Studios' The Eternals, which has now been moved to February 12th, 2021. And Artemis Fowl, which has been delayed a couple of times now, is now debuting exclusively on Disney Plus, so it has been taken from the theatrical release schedule entirely. There's no release date for it just yet.
You hate to see it, but you know, that's, you know, you can't get out to a theater right now. So a lot of studios are going to either move the dates or just throw them out on streaming. It is what it is. But for me, what hurts the most is Jungle Cruise, honestly, because like that movie's already got a huge delay once, because it was supposed to come out, I think, Christmas of 2018. And then it got delayed until now, and now it's getting delayed another year. Or no, Christmas 2019, and then it got delayed to this summer, and now it's getting delayed another year. So it's now like almost 2 years past its original opening time frame.
And meanwhile, the New Mutants is just like crickets. That movie's never going to come out.
Nope, we'll never see the light of day.
I believe other movies that got new dates included... Indiana Jones 5 got a new date, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah, so especially because like a lot of productions that were scheduled to shoot in the next few weeks have to delay the shooting. So that's going to delay the release date.
Mm-hmm. So this throws pretty much all of the next phase of Marvel, the MCU, off by a good few months.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Marvel TV shows will still come out on time. I don't know if they were completely finished filming Falcon and WandaVision.
I think they stopped shooting. So
So those could possibly get delayed. Yeah. I know Mandalorian had already wrapped its second season, so that could still come out in October on schedule. Yeah. We'll see.
Let's hope so, because the summer lineup for Disney Plus is pretty barren.
Hey, you know what? The important thing is this month we're finally getting National Treasure.
Really? That's not on there yet?
It had an exclusive deal, I think, on Netflix. And it just got taken off Netflix at the beginning of this year. So now it can finally go on to Disney Plus.
Nice. I can't wait to watch that.
I was excited to see that they're adding a lot of the older seasons of America's Funniest Home Videos on Disney Plus, which makes me real excited that the potential of putting other old ABC shows on there.
Twin Peaks?
Oh my God. How weird would it be to see Twin Peaks? Like, there's already a David Lynch movie on Disney Plus, which is weird to say.
Oh man, and all the websites ran with that David Lynch on Disney Plus, and it's just like a documentary.
It's one of his, you know, more normal films.
Yeah, the day that they put Eraserhead on Disney Plus is the day I'll eat my hat.
Those ears right there, and
yeah, I'll take these off and take a bite out of them.
Yes, Artemis Fowl is going on to Disney Plus, Giovanni. That is where you'll be able to see it.
There's no release date just yet, but as far as we know, the film is finished and ready for theatrical release. They just don't know when it'll be on there yet.
Honestly, like I
it's just throw it away. It's fine.
I hate to say it, but it's probably gonna bomb like Wrinkle in Time did, and
these
other movies based off young adult novels.
This was a strategic choice for sure.
Yeah. So it'll still see the light of day. It'll just be on Disney Plus.
Yep.
All right. So was that it for the news?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. We're heading into the main attraction of the episode. Brittany, what are we talking about this week?
Well, something exciting happened to you yesterday and today.
Yes.
Banks wrote a story that went viral.
Unexpectedly. I guess that's all viral things are unexpected.
Yeah, but this was something else, because not only did it spread around on social media, but you got acknowledgement from the person that you wrote about too.
Which I've been a fan of this guy for so long, so it was kind of cool to have him talking about us. So for those who don't know, we'll start from the beginning here. I'm a huge fan of Kevin Smith. I've been listening and watching his movies for years now, and I listen to all his podcasts. So I was listening to one of his latest episodes of his podcast, Fat Man Beyond, and they were talking about the technology they used to shoot the first season of The Mandalorian, with that giant screen blending in with physical sets so they didn't have to go out on location. And he mentioned that he got to actually see that screen up close in person, because he was working on a potential Kingdom Keepers series for Disney Plus. And hearing that, I was like, I perked up like a meerkat. I was like, what's this? Kingdom Keepers, if you don't know, is a series of books by Ridley Pearson that take place in the Disney parks after dark, basically. Kids running around saving the world from villains that are bringing the animatronics to life. And to see that, hear that this could be a potential series for Disney Plus, I was like, okay, well, I got to write about this. This is what we do. We cover the theme parks, and we've covered and interviewed Ridley in the past before. So let's write it up. So I wrote it up and put it out there. I was like, is Kingdom Keepers coming to Disney Plus? And then I wrote about hearing it, and nothing's official. It's just kind of hearsay from a quick comment that Kevin Smith made. So, you know, we'll see. And then it turns out this morning, Sunday, the April of the 5th, yes, 5th, sorry, I had to look at the calendar, April 5th, Sunday morning, Kevin actually ended up responding and retweeting our tweet about the story and gave an explanation. So saying, basically, it's not something he is currently working on. The way he worded it in the podcast that I heard was, it sounded like it's something he could be doing now. He just said, a potential Kingdom Keeper series. And so he clarified on Twitter, saying it was actually 2 years ago that he wrote the script for a series and pitched it to Disney Plus, and they had approved it. And they were moving forward with it. And so we had these like tech days to see the set and how they were filming Mandalorian as a potential way to film this series. Ultimately, it did not get any further. It was canceled by an executive at Disney Plus. The way he, I don't have the tweet pulled up, but the way, you know, I should probably, let me pull it up because I want to make sure I get his wording correctly and I'm not paraphrasing here. So let me pull up his Twitter. So he said, as a response to our initial tweet of the story, that was a blast to write 2 years ago. It was planned as one of the first shows to launch on what would become Disney Plus. Then a new executive was put in charge of the app and he killed Kingdom Keepers. Said we used too much Disney IP in one project.
I got a bone to pick with this executive. My exhibit A is Once Upon a Time. Have they never seen that show? That show's literally got every classic Disney fairy tale IP in it.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But so a lot of people like Brittany were starting to tweet out saying, oh, how dare this guy? Like, they need to fire this guy. Like, how can he make such a stupid decision? How's there too much Disney IP? So Kevin had to put out another tweet clarifying, saying the Disney Plus executive may have scrapped Kingdom Keepers, but he's also the guy who said, let's do Star Wars and Marvel Studios shows. So as much as I would have liked to make my show, I'm much happier watching The Mandalorian and can't wait for WandaVision. Hashtag fan first, filmmaker second. So it actually kind of ended up being the canceled Kingdom Keepers helped bring The Mandalorian instead. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
And I think someone at Disney has said before, nothing's ever truly dead. That might be an Imagineering thing, but I feel like that applies to the studio as well.
Agreed.
So you never know.
You never know.
When anything could come back.
And who knows? I mean, maybe because of the fan outcry that they're hearing about this now, like a lot of this is going viral. So a lot of people are talking about this. So maybe they'll see like, oh, there's potential. People want to see this show. Maybe this is something we should revisit. Who knows?
Okay, now I'm going to need you to write about Tron Legacy and how we need Tron 3.
Do I need to write about how Ben Solo is actually still alive? And
yes.
No, he's dead. He's dead as a doorknob.
We don't. That's those are dirty words. Don't say those on off the podcast. You're fired.
Oh man. So yeah, it's just really a really cool thing to have Kevin acknowledge my work. And he even went on to his Facebook page and did a live stream telling the entire story and his ideas for the show. We posted an updated article with what he said and a link to his Facebook. Heads up, if you know Kevin Smith at all, you know every other word out of his mouth is a curse word. So you know, there's adult languages, which is, you know, it's fine. But I know a lot of we have families listening, so just be warned about that. But he also tweeted out another tweet because Kevin Lively on Twitter, who is an Imagineer, mentioned that he got to read the treatment and let out an audible hell yeah at a certain point. So Kevin responded saying, thanks, man. It was written with love by a kid who grew up watching The Wonderful World of Disney with his family every Sunday night. I renamed the main characters after the original team of Imagineers who worked with Walt. Felt like they overpaid me to write Disney fan fiction. So already you could see that it was going to be a departure from the novels. Like I'm sure Ridley Pearson probably, you know, had maybe would have had an oversight, but it seemed like it was going to be, you know, Kevin Smith's take on the animatronics coming to life, which is fine. I think he mentioned in the Facebook live stream he wanted to have Russell Brand play Captain Hook.
Okay. Which so basically that Annie Leibovitz photo comes to life. Yeah,
exactly. Pretty much. So, I'm as a huge Kevin Smith fan and a huge Disney Parks fan, I would have absolutely loved to see his take on Kingdom Keepers. But, you know, it's not going to happen, unfortunately, at least in his version. Who knows if they circle back to the idea and bring him back or bring someone else in. possibilities are always going to be there. But I mean, we need more parks related shows on Disney Plus. We really
agreed.
Do. The wedding shows are nice, and they just had a cooking show that takes place at Walt Disney World that's on right now, Be Our Chef. And I think I saw somewhere they announced a brand new National Geographic's going to be doing like a behind the scenes show of Animal Kingdom and how they take care of the animals there. So that's awesome.
And The Rock is his $7 Productions is supposed to be working on a show called Behind the Attraction. They announced that last year, but we haven't heard anything beyond its development announcement.
Right.
So,
and who knows?
That's all another thing.
Who knows what the progress is on these productions because of everything going on right now? Can't really get film in the parks right now. So we'll see what goes with those. But I do feel we need more parks related, and to have a fictional show in the theme parks, I think would be amazing, because, you know, all the travel shows, this is all reality. This is all things we always see, but I really want to see a fictional narrative in the parks. And I think Kingdom Keepers is the perfect property to bring to life for Disney Plus if they ever want to circle back on this.
I loved Once Upon a Time, which to me was like the Avengers of Disney fantasy characters when it was on ABC. Sure, it kind of tanked in quality as the seasons went on, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun interweaving of all of these different worlds. I love the characters and how they kind of reimagined their stories, because they had their fairy tale counterpart and then like a real world modern day counterpart. So I think Disney Plus would benefit from something like this if it ever came about again.
Yeah. But if you happen to be watching or listening, Kevin, thank you so much for clarifying. I know some of our stuff may have been like misinformation based on what I heard you say in the podcast. So I do apologize about that, but thank you for clarifying and letting us all know the story of this potential show. It's cool to finally, you know, to hear a backstory and not just like a vague, oh, it was canceled, that was it. But to actually hear you talk about what it could have been, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
So let's, before we jump into the chat here, and guys, if you're still listening in the live stream, give us some questions. We'll do some Q&A right now. But Brittany, I want to know this, because thinking of Kingdom Keepers made me want to think. If you were trapped in one of the Disney theme parks after dark, where the animatronics came to life, which one would you rather be stuck in?
Not Animal Kingdom, because I hate dinosaur. Hollywood Studios.
Same, honestly, it's my favorite park, and it now that they took the Great Movie Ride out, there's not as many animatronics for you to have to fight off.
There you go.
And plus, you get to, you know, you can go talk to your crush, Ben Solo.
Yeah, I wonder if they built an Adam Driver face underneath the mask.
No, it's just going to be a bunch of wires and like.
Oof! Listen, when they showed that. You remember when they showed those promotional videos of the Shaman of Songs without her skin on her face?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I picture is underneath the mask.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it is. Horrifying.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. Yeah, let us ask some questions. We would like to chat. I'm just kind of scroll up here and see if I missed any questions. Brittany, you got anything you're working on this week for the website?
Yes. Let me pull up my email. I've got some updates to add to the, we did an Animal Crossing roundup of various costume designs that people did that are theme park inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few new submissions to add to that.
Nice.
And I'm going to be working on another piece where you can, it's called Run the Impossible is the name of the website, where you can run virtually through the parks.
Nice.
So I have to reach out to the owners about some questions about that.
Oh, I'll be covering that. That's Spencer, right? That runs that website.
Yes, Spencer and Katie.
Yeah, yeah. I ran with them during the Universal run earlier this year. They do a lot of runs, and they're great people.
That's not the best life people, is it? Or is that them? The Best Life and Beyond channel.
Oh,
their
names
are also Spencer and Katie.
I just know that they run the impossible stuff. They run. I don't know of any other channels that they do.
Maybe it's just two different people with the same names. And then I've also got D23 was supposed to have kind of a roadshow traveling theater screening of a Goofy movie, because this year is the film's 25th anniversary.
Right.
Because of everything going on, that got canceled. But now they're doing a different kind of celebratory event that seems to be virtual.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you can like learn to draw Max and like a dance party with Eye to Eye. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, so that's all I've got for now, but I'm sure more will come up in the morning.
Speaking of a Goofy movie, I got to let everyone know, if you guys are sleeping on DuckTales right now, wake up and go catch up on it, because it is one of the best shows that Disney is airing right now. The writing is wonderful. The storylines that they weave through these seasons are great, emotional, hilarious. The fourth wall jokes, oh my God. So the season three just debuted this weekend. And the second episode of season three, spoilers, I'm going to talk about it, is called Quack Pack, which, if you know, the Disney Afternoon was a show from the 90s starring Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie as teenagers. So the episode is the gang is stuck inside of a cheesy sitcom. And they're acting out things, and there's audience laughter and like your typical plot points in a sitcom. And they're realizing like slowly, like what's going on, what's happening, why is this happening? And it's like, do you ever notice, like, you're working on the wall, you ever notice there's only three walls? It's like, oh, you can, there's a fourth wall. Really? Have you ever looked at it? And they look at you and then it cuts to their POV and there's an audience out there.
Oh my goodness.
it's such a good show. I highly recommend people watch it, and watch it from the beginning, because they set up plot points in that first episode that are starting to pay off now in season three. So it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Where can you catch this?
You can catch DuckTales on Disney Now, the Disney Now app. I think the first two seasons are already on Disney Plus. Season three won't be on Disney Plus until after it runs in its entirety. So you can catch new episodes on the Disney Now app, as well as Disney XD if you still have cable. All right, so the Roaring Lions. What is your favorite Disney ride? We have mentioned this many times, but Brittany, what's your favorite?
Oh, man. Probably Rise of the Resistance now. But if we're talking straight nostalgia, it would probably be a tie between Jungle Cruise and Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, Rise of the Resistance, absolutely my number one, followed very, 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 very closely by Tower of Terror. If we're going to go with classics, Mansion, and honestly, probably Space Mountain. I freaking love Space Mountain. All the different versions of Space Mountain. Like, I've been on ours, I've been on Disneyland's, and I've been on Paris's. They're all great. They're so much fun.
I think, because technically my favorite classic ride I've never been on, but Phantom Manor.
Oh.
If I ever get to go to Paris. That was the first Disney ride that I ever got like obsessed with. Like, I read all the backstory. I went on the fan site that was like made in Java like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I played the little flash game that was basically just like running the ride like ops board, where you would cycle through the ride and like turn all the effects on and fix things when they went down and stuff. I think they had a Tower of Terror version of that game too. I'll have to send it to you if I find
it. Oh my gosh. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
But they were like these super old flash games, and I would just play them for hours. And you literally don't do anything besides like push the buttons that the attractions cast members do. It's
dispatch and like pre-show and.
Yep. Oh, and oh man, So I love Phantom Manor, but I've never been on it and I've never been to Disneyland Paris, but maybe one day.
It's kind of like, you know, if you, I don't know if, how many people like just kind of sit around and play on their iPhones, but they have like a lot of games right now, like idle games where all you do is just, you know, press buttons and, you know, watch people do things. It's just a nice way to kill some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Haunted Mansion is really great. So, all right, well, that's going to do it. I think this week for the Attractions Podcast. So Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it is spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And then at twitch.tv/BrittPlays. That's Britt with three T's because someone took the two T's. I stream on Saturdays, usually in the afternoon between 12 and 3. This week, I'll do a little extra one just because, though. So keep an eye on my Twitter.
There you go. And you can find me on Twitter at Banks Lee, Instagram at Disney Goofball. And of course, all the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and attractionsmagazine.com. So this will probably end up being a new weekly thing for us where we're going to live stream the recording on our YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed to us, head over to youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. Subscribe, hit that bell to be notified when we post new videos and when we go live for the Attractions Podcast and Early Night Live. That's our two live streams during the week. And so, yeah, I think this will be a fun new adventure. I'll try to be more prepared next week with some like graphics to throw up and the like, and maybe try to build a set somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is my office, mine and Josh's office, but it's so warm. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had like a green screen or like some key lights or something right here, because I feel like I'm very pink and my background is just yellow.
Right. I have an office desk with like a shelf behind me with a lot of knickknacks, but it's right outside my son's bedroom and I don't want to wake him up with all this talking. So I'll figure something out, but I like this. This will be a new fun adventure. So thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for hanging out.
We hope everyone is staying safe and with their families and staying clean. Be well if you happen to be sick and you're listening. Our thoughts are with everyone out there around the country, around the world during this time. We hope that we're able to bring you a little bit of brightness every week.
Or at least we hope you laugh at our unpreparedness and silly craziness that we get into on here.
Exactly. So until next week, stay inside. Enjoy life, enjoy the internet, enjoy your phone, enjoy your video games, whatever you're doing to keep yourself busy, and of course have fun.
Bye bye, everybody.